The Russian troops enter a major city northeast of Ukraine. Blasts are heard in the capital of Kiev on the fourth day of the conflict. Meantime, Ukrainian president refuses to hold talks with Moscow and neighboring Belarus. What a Russian delegation is there. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Welcome. A top story this hour, Moscow's military operations in Ukraine now in their fourth day. The Kremlin saying that Russian troops have already entered Kharkiv, a city in the northeast. The Russian military also claims to have entirely besieged the cities of Kherson in the south and Berdyansk in the southeast. Meantime, a series of blasts were heard to the west of the Ukrainian capital Kiev center on Sunday, minutes after air raid sirens sounded. Ukrainian media also reported explosions and a gunfight in a nearby town. Fighting is reportedly underway in the town of Bucha, west of Kiev. And this, as President Volodymyr Zelensky says, that Ukraine's military is in control of the capital city.
I am here. We will not lay down the weapons. We will defend our state because our weapon is our truth. And the truth is that this is our land, our country, our children, and we will defend all of that.
Zelensky reportedly turned down a U.S. offer to evacuate him from Kiev, noting that he needs ammunition, not a ride. Ukrainian Health Ministry says 198 people, including three children, have been killed since fighting began on Thursday. Kiev also claims more than 1,000 Russian soldiers have been killed, although Moscow had not released any figure. Russia says it's targeted Ukraine's military infrastructure with air and sea cruise missiles, destroying some 800 targets. Moscow has denied reports of targeting cities and says it's taken measures to avoid civilian casualties. Some 115,000 Ukrainians have already crossed into Poland. In the meantime, a Russian delegation has arrived in Belarus for talks with Ukrainian authorities. President Volodymyr Zelensky says that he remains open to talks in locations that, in his words, show no aggression toward his country. Zelensky says that Ukraine is only ready for real talks and that it won't accept any conditions or ultimatums. He believes that negotiations in Minsk could have been possible if Russia had not attacked Ukraine. His advisor has also weighed in, describing the Russian team's trip to Belarus as pointless. So for an update on that, let's cross over to Moscow. Marina Kortanova, our correspondent, is there. Marina, what do you have for us?
So Vladimir Zelensky is very changeable in his speeches, and he changes information several times per day. He makes videos, and there's information known he's not in Kyiv anymore. So probably he's in the western part of Ukraine, in Lviv. As you mentioned, Russia's delegation has arrived in Belarus, in Gomel, for talks with him. And on the in the Russian delegation, there are representatives of foreign ministry, the defense ministry, and other agencies, including the presidential administration. Russia launched its special military operation aimed at demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine on February 24, and on Friday the troop movement was suspended amid expectations of possible talks with Kyiv, but resumed on Saturday as Ukraine refused to participate. And in general, the initiative of talks in Belarus belong to President Macron, respectively. For the Ukrainian side, advisors are the United States and the Great Britain. And earlier, the office of Ukrainian President Zelensky said he might discuss Ukraine's neutral status as well as the package of guarantees for its security. He published a video in which he stated that Ukraine is ready for negotiations and a peaceful settlement of the situation that has developed due to the rescue operation in the Donbass, subject to negotiations in any other countries except Belarus. He said Warsaw, Istanbul, Baku, that Ukrainian side offered these cities to Russia for negotiations and any other city from where missiles do not fly to Ukraine. Then the negotiations will be honest, Zelensky said. He also called on Belarus to return into the status of a friendly country and stressed that it is in the power of its great people. Earlier that day, Kremlin spokesman Peskov said that a Russian delegation had arrived in Belarus for talks with the Ukrainian side and was ready to hold them in Gomel. He noted that the Russian side agreed to negotiate with Kyiv in Minsk, and this information was brought to the Ukrainians. Russian President Vladimir Putin immediately phoned Belarusian leader Alexander Lukashenko and agreed that the Belarusian side and the president would do everything to best organize the arrival of delegations, ensure their safety, and ensure the conditions of these negotiations. He said that the Russian side had already formed a delegation of representatives. And earlier that day, Ukrainian president approached Putin with a proposal to sit down and the negotiation table and end hostilities in Ukraine. In addition, he indicated his desire to discuss with Moscow that what happened yesterday, actually, the issue of the country's neutral status. And he explained this decision by the negative answer of the leaders of the NATO countries to the question of Ukraine's entry into the alliance.
That's all the time we have. Thank you very much for that update. Marina Kortonova, our correspondent in Moscow. Racist remarks by CBS journalists reporting on the Ukraine crisis have drawn a strong backlash from the public.
But this isn't a place, with all due respect, like Iraq or Afghanistan, that has seen conflict raging for decades. You know, this is a relatively civilized, relatively European, I have to choose those words carefully too, city where you wouldn't expect that or hope that it's going to happen.
Natalia Diagara made those comments while reporting from the Ukrainian capital, Kiev, and his report he clearly described Europeans as superior to people of other countries, such as Iraq or Afghanistan. The comments drew massive reactions online. Meantime, another guest joining a BBC program to share his views on the Ukrainian conflict also indicated that other people are inferior to Europeans. He said, and these are his exact words, that European people with blue eyes and blonde hair are getting killed in Russia's military operation. Now, his racist remarks, too, have drawn the ire of many on social media. Hundreds of Palestinian schoolchildren have gathered near a village in the occupied West Bank to make their voices heard against Israeli restrictions preventing them from getting to school. It happened at the entrance to Laban al-Sharqiya village in Nablus. The demonstrators held signs and waved Palestinian flags, urging UNESCO to intervene. Regime forces used tear gas to disperse the ralliers, injuring several of them. This is the fourth consecutive week that protests are held against the restrictions. Regime troops have resorted to using force, often firing sound bombs and rubber bullets to disperse the crowd. They accuse the students of throwing rocks at the Israeli settlers. The village is home to some 3,500 Palestinians, but Tel Aviv is using their land to build settler units. Now, Iranian MPs are reviewing the specifics of the budget bill proposed by the government. The parliament says it will not tie the final bill to the results of the ongoing Vienna talks on the revival of the 2015 agreement. Yusuf Jalali has a report.
Iran's parliament is reviewing the details of the budget bill for the next fiscal year, starting on March 21st. The government's proposed budget stands at roughly $148 billion, some 4% higher than last year's approved budget. Lawmakers have earlier approved the generalities of the budget bill, and it's been a week now since the thorough examination of the bill kicked off in Parliament's open sessions.
The government's cap on next year's budget is roughly $148 billion. Out of this figure, $60 billion is allocated for the general budget and $88 billion is earmarked for government spending. Parliament is making some revisions, especially in national development projects and infrastructure. We increased the allocated budget in these areas.
This time, the budget's examination process took longer due to the fact that lawmakers want to be as meticulous as possible while evaluating the income and spending in the country.
While Iran and the P4 Plus One are engaged in tough negotiations in Vienna over the revival of the 2015 deal, President Ebrahim Raisi says the budget bill seeks to promote a resistance economy that would not need to wait for the removal of U.S. sanctions.
Parliament says the budget bill was drawn up based on a no-deal possibility in the Vienna talks and the continuation of U.S. sanctions on Iran.
The proposed budget expects the country's oil sales to reach 1.2 million barrels per day, with $60 a barrel, which would earn Iran some $14 billion in the fiscal year 2022-23. Lawmakers reset this figure to 1.4 million BPDs, with $70 a barrel. Any agreement in the ongoing Vienna talks will immediately push Iran's oil sales up by at least 500,000 BPDs as a result of the removal of U.S. oil embargoes on Iran. But lawmakers say they will not wait for the fate of the negotiations to finalize the budget bill, saying any extra petrodollar will be spent for the good of the people.
We cannot waste our time and wait if the U.S. removes the sanctions or not. So we set the budget based on a daily export of 1.4 million barrels of oil through direct or barter sales and based on assumptions that oil prices will hover around $70 when in fact the prices are reaching $100. Any extra oil income will be saved in the National Development Fund.
President Ebrahim Raisi submitted the budget bill to Parliament in mid-December last year when Parliament approved its general outlines. Lawmakers now have 3 weeks to go over the details and fix the shortcomings of the budget to pass it into law before handing it to the higher legislative body, the Constitutional Council, for final approval. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Public universities across Afghanistan have reopened after being closed for almost 7 months. Boys and girls have joined classes, of course, separately. Rahmatullah Bagman has a report.
After months of suspension, Afghan public universities have reopened. We visited Kabul University and spoke with a number of teachers and students. They say they're happy returning to the campus and hope good educational days are ahead.
We are very happy that we have returned to university again. We have been away from our classes and lessons for almost 7 months. I was longing for this day so much. This new beginning and opportunity can motivate us and give more hope for the future.
It is a big day for the young generation. The opening of the doors of universities could open the doors of developments. I hope this process continues well. I urge the international community to help our higher education sector and poor families so that their sons and daughters can get education.
Male and female students are returning to Kabul University, but in different shifts. Moreover, new roles and changes are brought by the new directors.
Actually, I witnessed a lot of changes in Kabul University. First, some departments in the fine art faculty like cinema, music, and theater are said to be canceled. Secondly, students are obliged to change their outfits. Girls should come in the morning and boys in the afternoon. In addition, we didn't find most of our former teachers and there were new figures.
Some experts say it's not all about reopening, and there are many challenges left on the way of higher education in Afghanistan.
A huge number of our scholars, professors, and lecturers left our country during the government change. This has caused a significant loss in our higher education institutions. We need them back now. Furthermore, the Taliban government are going to make changes in universities' educational syllabuses and staff. It's uncertain whether the Taliban are leading our higher education.
Like most public universities, Kabul University had closed in the immediate aftermath of the Taliban takeover. Formerly, the university had remained shut for some months due to COVID-19 pandemic. The reopening of universities have brought hope to the younger generation in Afghanistan. The students here say this process must be supported in advance so that they can continue their education this year successfully. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
U.S. President Joe Biden's first year in office was a failure, and that according to what the majority of Americans believe, a joint poll conducted by National Public Radio, NPR, Public Broadcasting Service, PBS, and Marist poll indicates that rising inflation, a continuing pandemic, a foreign policy misstep in Afghanistan, and Democratic infighting are the main factors leading to his failure. Only 39% of Americans approve of Biden's job. The majority of Americans also believe that Biden is not fulfilling his campaign promises and has even done more to divide the country than unite it. Now, three of the four Minneapolis officers involved in the fatal arrest of Floyd in May 2020 have been found guilty of all the charges against them. This could be regarded as an initial victory for campaigners against police brutality and violence, but there is still more ground to break.
Almost 2 years after African-American George Floyd died beneath the knee of a white police officer on a street in Minneapolis, the police officers involved are being brought to account. The jury found the conduct of the three officers led to Floyd's death, a charge that would impact the final verdict the officers will face. The three are convicted of failing to stop Derek Chauvin, who knelt on Floyd's neck for about 9 minutes, and denying Floyd's constitutional right to medical care while in custody. Tu Tao, Alexander Quang, and Thomas Lane will remain free on bail until their hearings, which aren't scheduled yet. What's for certain is that they'll face several years in prison. Chauvin, the officer arresting Floyd, was sentenced to 22 and a half years last year. For Floyd's family, it's not enough.
This is just accountability. It can never be justice because I can never get George back. And no matter how many times that I pray at night and I think about my brother 24/7, it still is going to be hard, even though we just had a federal conviction and we already had the state conviction. But times, you know, will be probably a lot harder for me still because I can't get my brother back.
The trials are considered historic in the U.S., where officers are hardly ever indicted for the treatment of the members of the black community.
And with that, we come to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, February 27th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And also here, I offer heartfelt condolences to our listeners on a very doleful day, which faithful commemorate every year on the 25th of the month of Rajab. Yes, today is the tragic day when the Prophet's seventh infallible heir was martyred in Baghdad through a fatal dose of poison during imprisonment by the usurper Abbasid regime in 183 AH, corresponding to 799 AH. He reposes in eternal peace in the sprawling twin-domed gold-plated shrine of Qazamain, where people flock day and night and pay their respects to him by saluting him in an appropriate manner. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. So, as you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here I do express my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception report, including Jan Thornblom from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, Preeti Singh from India, and Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia, one of our old and regular listeners. So, Jan Thornblom, Preeti Singh, and Muhammad Fazli, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRAB English Radio. And here I also do express my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our great listeners who have sent us emails and letters from around the world, including Wu Xianun from China, who has sent us an email. Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia has sent us an email. Also, we have an email from Austria from Harald Seuss, one of our old and regular listeners. From Finland, we have an email from Sixten Niman. And the last but not the least is an email from Canada from Alan Willey, one of our regular listeners. After a short break, I will be back with these great emails from these great listeners. Welcome back. As I said, from China, we've received an email from Wu Xianun. Let's see what Wu Xianun from China, one of our great listeners, says. He says, I am a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card that is QSL to prove my listening. I hope your station provides the listeners with a QSL card, schedule, flag, etc. Salam and warm greetings to you, Wu Xianun from China, and thank you very much for sending us this email from Shenzhen, China. Thank you very much. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card because in the time of pandemic, sending, as you said, a radio listening certificate card, any material, any schedule or flag is not possible because we are in the time of pandemic. So please accept our electronic QSL card. And about the schedule, you can find IRAB English Radio schedule in our website at www.parstoday.com/EN. Anyway, Wu Xianun from China, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon. And from Slovakia, we've received an email from Alexandra Bogdanova. Alexandra says, greetings. Thank you very much for contacting me and acknowledging my reports. It's very much appreciated. I personally like the broadcast by the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. It is very professional and informative, in my opinion. It's nice to hear about things that are currently happening in Iran and its neighboring countries. Personally, I would very much appreciate if you could add more programs or talk more about regional things such as culture, music, food and history, or even the politics. It's very interesting to listen to. Personally, the only problems that I have with the broadcast is always the reception. The signal is mostly very weak in Central Europe, hard to receive, and sometimes it's not so audible and understandable. Other than that, I have no problems with anything, really. If you would like to hear more or if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia, and many thanks for writing such a nice email to your radio station, IRAB English Radio. We are so glad that you enjoy our programs and you enjoy our broadcast because you said you found the programs of IRAB English Radio professional and very informative. Thank you again for reflecting your views about our broadcast. It seems that you like Arab English Radio talk more about regional things like culture, music, food and history and politics more. Thank you very much for telling us your views and about the problem you had with the reception. You said the reception and the signal is very weak in Central Europe. Yes, of course, my colleagues, I will inform my colleagues about this problem, and they will soon fix the problem. And nothing is left except expressing our warm gratitudes to you, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia, for writing such a nice email to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Alexandra Bogdanova, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Harald Suss from Austria, one of our regular listeners. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This email that I'm reviewing is from Austria, from Harald Suss. Let's see, Harald, one of our old and regular listeners, says, thank you for contacting me as a listener of IRIB. I listen to IRIB English Radio since a very long time ago. I began radio listening in 1975. I remember I received my first QSL card from IRIB in 1985. I like to listen in to foreign radio stations to learn about the culture in these countries, one of Iran. It is a pity that I never could travel to Iran. I hope I will get a chance to do it. Your programs are quite interesting, even for a person like me who is not quite familiar with the politics. Please continue broadcasting in English and show us your country virtually. I also collect QSL cards, and so I sometimes send you my reception reports. I will continue to follow your broadcast if I get some time to do it. I wish you and all the team the best in your work and in your life. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Harald Suss from Austria, and thank you very much for sending us this great, great email. We are so happy that our listeners reflect their views about our broadcast, so we can better the quality of our programs when we hear your views about our broadcast. So it seems that you've been listening to different radio stations, different foreign radio stations since a very long time ago. As you said, 1979. Yes, it's a very long time ago. So you received your first QSL card from IRIB English Radio in 1985. That's great. That's amazing that you've been keeping it and you've been remembering it. It shows your commitment and your faithfulness to IRIB English Radio, your loyalty. And that's great. It made my day, actually. You like to hear more about the culture of Iran and the interesting programs alike. Okay, I will inform my colleagues about that. Thank you again for sending us this great email. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, because as before that we sent our great listeners paper QSL cards and the souvenirs, in the time of pandemic, it's not possible. So please, in the time of pandemic, accept our electronic QSL card. Harald Suss from Austria, many thanks for sending us this great email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So let's see, what is the next email? This email is from Finland, from Sixten Niman. Let's see what Sixten says. Dear sir or madam, first, I hope you are COVID-19 safe. I had a great pleasure to pick up your radio here in Nikralbi, Finland, on 936 kilohertz medium wave. The reception was fairly good. I am enclosing an audio clip of my reception. Nikralbi is a small town on the west coast of Finland, about 500 kilometers north of Helsinki. I would be very glad and honored to receive a verification of reception. I thank you very much in advance. Best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sixten Niman from Finland. And many thanks for sending us this email. So you had the chance to pick up IRIB English Radio in your region. As you said, your region is Nikralbi, Finland. That's great that our signals are heard in your region, in Nikralbi, Finland. It's good. And you said the reception was fairly good, and that's great. Sixten Niman from Finland, why don't you tell us your opinion about our broadcast? In the upcoming emails, we are waiting for them. So we are honored to have received this email from you, Sixten Niman from Finland. We wish you all the best. Yes, hopefully and fortunately, most of the people in Iran are COVID-19 safe because the majority of the Iranians have received the booster dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Sixten Niman from Finland. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And after a short break, I will be back with the last email. Welcome back. Alan Willey, one of our regular listeners from Canada, has sent us an email. Let's see what Alan says. Dear staff, please find attached with this email another set of reception reports of IRIB English radio broadcast during the past month. Also, I appreciate your previous mention in correspondence of the possibility of taking part in a possible interview. I hope I can also participate in an interview with you very soon. By the way, I've just enjoyed listening to your listener program today. Listeners special, I mean Alan Means. And I enjoyed hearing your listeners' comments a lot. Thank you very much for your consideration and kindest regards. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio to you, Alan Willey, in Canada. Thank you very much for writing this email to us. So you are a volunteer in participating in a possible interview, and that's great. My colleagues will soon tell you the time of it. So Alan Willey from Canada, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And it seems that you listened to Listener's Special last time and you enjoyed. That's great. Write to us soon, Alan Willey from Canada. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I offer my heartfelt condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a question and a topic that's very interesting and has often been asked by people. And you know, we want to answer it today from a religious point of view. So a lot of times when, you know, people are blessed with children, you know, they've been given children by God, you know, so they have babies, and these babies are, you know, constantly crying, you know, and making a fuss, and, you know, not allowing their parents any peace of mind, right? So a lot of people ask, is it possible and permissible for us to kind of, you know, physically, you know, give a little hit to the child, you know, so he stops crying or whatnot. Right. So we're going to look at this question from a religious point of view and examine it from the point of view of the knowledge that we've been given from the Prophet Muhammad and has been passed down to us from him. So in a blessed tradition, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said the following. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La tazribu atfalakum ala bukaihim. Prophet Muhammad said, do not hit your children when they cry or because they're crying. Why? Fa inna bukaahum arba'ata ashhurin shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. Surely they're crying in the first four months of their, you know, existence, the terrestrial existence in this world. The first 4 months, when you see them crying, right, in reality, this is, they're testifying, you know, by means of their crying to the unity of God. They're testifying to the unity of God and God's monotheism. As you know, it's one of the basic principles of the Islamic faith that all children are born, right, on the divine nature, meaning they bear within themselves the knowledge of God's unity. And in a blessed tradition has been reported from the Holy Prophet, then he said, Kullu mauludin yuladu alal fitra. That every child that's born, every newborn, is born on the divine nature. Right, it's a famous tradition that's been narrated from the Holy Prophet. Right, so this tradition that we're examining right now, it echoes the same theme that this child that's born, and you know, it has knowledge of God's unity, and when it's crying, in reality, it's crying and it's testifying to God's unity in this way. In continuation of the tradition, the Holy Prophet says, وَأَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى النَّبِي وَعَلَيْهِ. The next 4 months of its existence, its terrestrial existence in this world, when it's crying, it's actually sending its benedictions upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his progeny. Right, so this also is tied up to what we just mentioned, you know, that the child being upon the divine nature, because you know the prophecy and wilayat and these other concepts, these are offshoots of God's, you know, unity. And our Islamic understanding of what God is, right? Because these the necessity of prophethood and then the continuation of his leadership and wilayat in the form of the A'imah alayhi wasalam, and this also ultimately terminates at our understanding of God as being a being who wants to guide human beings and created them with the purpose of guiding them through these divine human beings. In continuation and in the end of the hadith, the Prophet says, "Wa arba'ata ashurin ad-du'a'u liwalidayhi." The final 4 months when the child is crying, he's actually praying for his parents. Right? So if you see your child crying, don't hit him in these first 12 months because, you know, in reality, he's either testifying to God's unity or sending salutations upon the Prophet or praying for his parents. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at one of the virtues of the salawat and benedictions upon the Prophet. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., Republican leaders are facing fresh demands to expel the Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene after she spoke at a conference of white nationalists. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist David Smith. The piece is titled Calls to Expel Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene After Speech at White Nationalist Event. In the United States, Republican leaders are facing fresh demands to expel the Georgia Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, after she spoke at a conference of white nationalists. The event in Orlando, Florida, on Friday night, 25th of February, was organized by the far-right extremist Nick Fuentes, who told attendees, "Now they're going on about Russia and Vladimir Putin is Hitler. They say that's not a good thing." He burst into laughter and, as he added, "I shouldn't have said that." Nick Fuentes, recently subpoenaed for his involvement in the 6th of January 2021 insurrection, proudly introduced Marjorie Taylor Greene at the 3rd Annual America First Political Action Conference, or AFPAC. The Georgia congresswoman told the gathering they were cancelled Americans who had a responsibility to stop the Democrats, who are the Communist Party of the United States of America, Huffington Post reported. Her patronage of the America First Political Action Conference, AFPAC, where the Arizona congressman Paul Gosar also appeared via pre-recorded video, provoked sharp condemnation of party leaders for failing to discipline her. Liz Cheney, a member of the House Select Committee investigating the 6th of January riot, tweeted, "As Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and Representative Paul Gosar speak at this white supremacist, anti-Semitic event, silence by Republican Party leaders is deafening and enabling. All Americans should renounce this garbage and reject this wing of the GOP now." The Democratic National Committee pointed out that Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader in the House, has consistently failed to take action against Marjorie Taylor Greene. Amar Moussa, spokesperson for the Democratic National Committee, said, "In any other world, Greene speaking at a white supremacist conference would warrant expulsion from the caucus, to say nothing of her advocacy for violence and consistent anti-Semitism is disgusting." Quite simply, the longer Kevin McCarthy gives Marjorie Taylor Greene an unfettered platform and promises to elevate her, the more complicit McCarthy is. On Saturday, Marjorie Taylor Greene sought to defend her appearance at AFPAC. She told CBS News, "I went to talk to them about America's first policies, and I talked to them about what's important for our country going forward." Asked if she endorses Nick Fuentes' views, Marjorie Taylor Greene claimed, "I don't know what his views are." Told that he is a white nationalist, she said, "I do not endorse those views." Marjorie Taylor Greene gave the interview on the sidelines of the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, a separate event also in Orlando, Florida. She appeared on a panel just hours before former President Donald Trump was due to speak. The congresswoman attacked Twitter for banning her and promoting Donald Trump's new social media site, Truth Social. She taunted Hillary Clinton, the former Democratic presidential nominee, and Anthony Fauci, infectious disease expert and chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden. "We have to hold Democrats accountable, everybody, right? Fire Fauci. We've got to investigate Hillary Clinton's campaign. Lock her up. Lock them all up." With that, Marjorie Taylor Greene laughed and the audience burst into applause. Greene has a history of anti-Semitic and incendiary comments that include blaming California's wildfires on Jewish space lasers, suggesting Muslims do not belong in government, and warning that gazpacho police patrol the U.S. Capitol. By gazpacho police, she presumably meant Gestapo police. But the timing of her AFPAC speech could hardly have been more provocative. Fred Wellman, a political consultant and Iraq War veteran, commented on Twitter, "This is where Marjorie Taylor Greene spent her evening, laughing about comparisons to Hitler being bad. This is who she is. You know, they burnt crosses in Martin Luther King's yard just 62 years ago. It's time for Georgia to put this trash out forever. The Republican Jewish Coalition joined the condemnation. It's appalling and outrageous that a member of Congress would share a platform with an individual who has actively spread anti-Semitic bile, mocked the Holocaust, and promoted dangerous conspiracy theories, the group said in a statement. The Republican Jewish Coalition added, "This has absolutely no place within the Republican Party." You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Here at Hadith of the Day and IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our sincere condolences to our esteemed listeners on the martyrdom of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful tradition and hadith which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding Imam Kazim, meaning regarding his son. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following in reply to Safwan al-Jamal, asking about one who holds this position, or imamat. In other words, Safwan al-Jamal, was one of the companions of the Imam, came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and inquired about the imamat, who is the person who most deserves the imamat and the leadership. In reply to this, the Imams said the following: one who holds this position, meaning the position of imamat, does not play and he is not distracted. At this time, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, Imam Qasim alayhi salam, who was then a child, entered the presence of his father and this rawi who were sitting there. And he had in his hand a small billy goat, a she-goat. And he was, you know, a child, and he was playing with this small goat. He had it in his arms, and he entered the presence of the Imam. Imam Qasim alayhi salam said the following to this goat, you know, in a very playful manner. He said, "Prostrate to your Lord, usjudi li rabbik." You know, and then he kind of made the goat prostrate in a playful manner. Upon hearing this, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam took him in his arms and hugged him lovingly and said, "May my parents be your ransom. He never plays, nor is he distracted." So indirectly, the Imam was indicating the fact that this person, the Imam Qasim, this boy, this child, will be the Imam after me. So just by way of clarification, the hadith doesn't want to say that the Imam had trained the goat to prostrate. Rather, what happened was that the Imam kind of took the goat in his arms and put the goat in a prostrating position. But I think the theme of the hadith and the tradition is the fact that even when the child was playing, the Imam was playing, he was still thinking about God. And so this isn't really the kind of play or distraction that would prevent a person from being hindered from the imamat or the leadership. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Join us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
It's been 3 days since Russia attacked Ukraine. Moscow said today that it's already destroyed over 800 Ukrainian military targets. At the same time, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky announced that his country's capital, Kiev, is still under Ukrainian control, despite street fighting in and around the city. In another development, the U.S. said it is providing Ukraine with $350 million worth of additional arms supplies to fight Russia. In this edition of the Spotlight, we are going to discuss why diplomacy failed, what are the reasons for the war, and take a look at the role of major players in the conflict, including the US, NATO, and the EU. My guests for Spotlight are